Okay, we have one more talk in Tomorrowland kind of thing. So Dr. Arti Shukla, she's, again, one of our people we have from Vermont. We have everybody from Northeast today. She has a MS and PhD in biochemistry from Banaras Hindu University in India, and she's now at the University of Vermont. She's interested in studying cell signaling mechanisms, and specifically in asbestos fiber, induced lung diseases, and on inflammasomes. So she's going to talk to us today about inflammasomes, modulation of chemotherapeutics in mesothelioma. Is this a new possibility? Dr. Shukla?
Good afternoon, everybody. First of all, I would like to thank Claire and Dr. Carmen for giving me opportunity to be part of this special event, and also for the introduction, Dr. Carmen. So today I will share some data about from my lab about how inflammasomes may be related to asbestos-induced mesothelioma development and maybe therapy. I think it is important that I give a little introduction about inflammasomes, because otherwise it may be a little difficult to understand the things. So inflammasomes are a special component of inflammatory machinery, and then they express their activation by caspase 1 activation, which can cause pyroptosis and also release of IL-1 beta. So these two are the basic things of activation of inflammasome, which have effect on development or therapy of mesothelioma. So these are comprised of NOD-like receptors, which are a large family of cytosolic multi-protein receptors or complexes, and they are sensed by number of pathogens, microbial products, endogenous danger signals released from damaged tissue, as well as environmental stress like asbestos. So far what we know that there are about 22 NLRs and about 7 inflammasomes complex have been identified. So from University of Vermont, Dr. Brooke Mosman was first to, in collaboration with Dr. Jörg Schopp from Sweden, was first to show that asbestos can cause activation of inflammasomes, NALP3 inflammasomes in macrophages. So this made a basis for me to study what happens to when asbestos is exposed, mesothelial cells are exposed to asbestos, and does it help in development of mesothelioma, or so forth, so on. So this is showing just like how inflammasomes, what is inflammasome and how it is activated. So my focus, as I said, there are like 7 different complexes, but my focus is on NALP3, because this is one of the most studied and most understood complex, as well as this has been shown to be activated by asbestos. So under normal condition, NALP3 is not expressed. It is like very, very low expressed. And in order for it to become activated, it needs to be expressed. And this step is called priming. And it can happen with the help of toll-like receptors, IL receptors, or TNFR. So once it is expressed in sufficient level, threshold levels are reached, then it can be activated. And this activation, again, can involve many, many processes or many multiple ways it can be activated, like lysosomal damage and cathepsin, phagocytosis, ROS production, potassium efflux, ATP receptor activation, or different signaling molecules. So what is this activation process? So activation process involves complex formation with USC apoptosis, like SPECT-like protein having cardinal domain for caspase 1. So this NALP3 and USC, they come together, and this USC brings pro-caspase domain with it. So this activation from one of these, or more than one of these, this forms a whole complex, which is And caspase 1, pro-caspase 1 is activated to form caspase 1. And once this caspase 1 is activated, it can cleave pro-IL-1 beta or pro-IL-18, which are then released by the mechanism of pyroptosis. Pyroptosis is inflammatory cell death. And so this, how it is different from apoptosis is just like instead of bulging of cells, in this case, there are pore formation and liquid oozes out without any special machinery. So this is called pyroptosis and cell death by caspase 1 or inflammasome. So whenever we talk about inflammasome activation, so there's always two steps, priming and activation. And it always involves, so how we study inflammasome activation is by caspase 1 activation because autocatalytic cleavage of caspase 1 leads to P20 subunits, which is released into medium, like if it is cells, then conditioned medium. If it is body, then body fluids and et cetera. So that's how we study its activation. And also we study IL-1 beta and IL-18 and many other related cytokines. So IL-1 beta, it can cause transformation of mesothelial cells and eventually mesothelioma. So for last, like 4 or 5 years, we have been trying to understand how inflammasome is involved in causing asbestos-induced mesothelial to fibroblastic transition, which is initial step of before mesothelioma develops, and then mesothelioma. So in the process, we have published several papers. And what we have understood so far that asbestos can cause inflammasome priming and activation in mesothelial cells. And this inflammasome activation causes in mesothelial cells causes release of several substances, including IL-1 beta, which can have autocrine loop for activation of inflammasome again. So this was one of the findings. Another thing that it releases activation, exposure of asbestos to mesothelial cells causes release inflammasome activation, which is which results into release of IL-1 beta, IL-18, tissue factor pathway inhibitor 2, FGF2, and HMGB1. And this together, or separately, I would not say separately, but together some of them can cause mesothelial to fibroblastic transition. So we have shown this mesothelial to fibroblastic transition using both in vitro and in vivo model. And we know that caspase and its different component like NALP3, USC, and caspase 1, they are involved. And caspase 1 showed maximum and most significant effect when we did in vivo models. So while we were doing, so this was all about the intermediary step of development of mesothelioma, that is transformation of mesothelial cells. So we did not take it to mesothelioma while we were doing that because it takes like 2 years to develop mesothelioma and, you know, a student project, they cannot they just survive with 2 years, one experiment doing. So while we were doing that, Joe Testa's group from FoxGIS, they were also working on kind of similar project, not this project, but similar type, role of inflammasome in mesothelioma. So what they did, they used US deficient, like one of the component deficient mice, and exposed them to asbestos and followed for more than 1 year. And what they found that it has a delayed response in development of mesothelioma. And we were also part of actually this study. Then they also used an enhanced model for mesothelioma, which were developed by them. So they used NF2 heterozygotes and CDKN2A mice and exposed them to asbestos in presence of anakinra, which is IL-1 receptor antagonist. And as I said, IL-1 beta is the major product of inflammasome activation. So, and they again saw a delay in the MM onset. So there are something going on, the role of inflammasome in mesothelioma development by asbestos. In contrast, when we injected mouse mesothelioma cells into NALP3 or USC or caspase-1 deficient or knockout mice, we did not see any effect on mesothelioma development. So what we concluded from this all, what we have shown, what they have shown, that maybe it these inflammasome, they help in initiation of the process, but may not be required for the development of malignant mesothelioma. So we were actually curious, so if we are seeing that, okay, it is initiating, and then, what actually is happening in mesothelioma cells of inflammasomes? So we just took some tumor tissue arrays, and also some mesothelioma tumor cell lines, and we stained with NALP3, the inflammasome component. And as you can see clearly here, that and compared it with either normal lung or normal mesothelial cells, LP9. So you can see that in tumor tissue, this is just a representative three, where there were like 15 tumors on one slide. So we didn't see any staining of NALP3 in these tumors. And similarly, when we use tumor cell lines, MM tumor cell lines, we saw very little NALP3 staining as compared to normal mesothelial cells. Furthermore, we just isolated RNA from some of the human mesothelioma cell lines and compared fold change in NALP3 with LP9 cells. And again, we see in most of the cell lines very reduced level of NALP3. We assessed caspase-1 activity, endogenous caspase-1 activity levels, and you can see here that it was also very low in pretty much all across mesothelioma cells. So this could, in part, be responsible for the drug resistance we see in mesothelioma cells. We also got some mesothelioma tumors and their normal counterparts from Dr. Harvey Pass and assessed NALP3 levels in them also. So three out of four tumors showed decreased levels of NALP3 as compared to their normal counterpart. So this was very kind of unexpected because, when mesothelial cells are exposed to asbestos, it goes up and it causes a transformation of mesothelial cells. So we were expecting that maybe it will be still there and causing some damage. However, this was not the case. So we thought maybe in this process from initiation to development of tumors, maybe there is some epigenetic changes are happening that asbestos is downregulating, methylating or downregulating this gene. So just to check whether that is happening or not, we just use some EZA compound, which you just heard from the other speaker, but we could not reverse the levels of NALP3. So that was really surprising, but we had to make what we got. So we still do not know why that happens, but we just, based on what we had and what literature was saying, we just put forward one hypothesis that if mesothelioma cells are exposed to chemotherapy, NALP3 levels will go up. And it will be activated also, so that caspase-1 levels also go up. So this whole thing will cause one good thing, cell death by pyroptosis, which is good because we want tumor cells to be killed. However, as I showed, that it will also cause release of IL-1 beta and other related pro-inflammatory cytokines, which definitely will lead to tumorigenesis. So what if we combine chemotherapy with IL-1 receptor antagonists? So we will get to keep the good thing, but at the same time, we can get rid of the bad thing. So keeping this hypothesis, we started working on that. And the first thing we did, we selected two human mesothelioma cells, HMESO and H2373. And these cells, first thing, HMESO is epitheloid, and H2373 is fibrosarcomatoid cell line. And also, these two cell lines are the one which grow in animals. So that's why we started with these cell lines. So first thing we did, we just exposed with two chemotherapeutic drugs, doxorubicin and cisplatin, for different time points. And we assessed protein level of NALP3, like priming of NALP3. So as you can see, there was increase in NALP3 level with both drugs in HMESO cells, as well as we assessed P20 subunit of secreted caspase, which suggests the activation of caspase. And again, you can see that it was going up. Similar was the case with other fibrosarcomatoid H2373 cell line, that in both cell lines, chemotherapeutic drugs were priming as well as activating inflammasomes. So, okay, if it is activating caspase 1, that means there should be pyroptosis and cell death should be going on. So to check that, we use a specific caspase 1 inhibitor, which is called caspase 1 inhibitor 6, and then treated cells with chemotherapeutic drugs with or without inhibitor. Again, the same two cell lines. So what we see that, to our surprise, in H. meso cell lines, we don't see any increase in viability in presence of inhibitor. In case of H2370 cell, we do see increased viability with doxorubicin, and little trend, not significant, with cisplatin. So what we thought that might be going on, and it is known from literature that inflammasome, although it is basically caspase 1, but there it also has been shown to like act through caspase 8. So we thought maybe when we are inhibiting caspase 1, there is a compensation happening with caspase 8 or other caspases, and that's why we don't see the desired results. To show that, we use pan-caspase inhibitor, different concentrations, 10 and 50 micromolar, and again, both cells, and as you can see, that this time we do see, with higher dose, increase in cell viability with this inhibitor. So this suggests that what we thought was right, it was other caspases were going up. Also, we wanted to show if this inhibitor, is it inhibiting caspase 1 also? So to do that, we assessed caspase 1 activity with both inhibitors, and yes, to that caspase 1 is specific, but this inhibitor was also inhibiting caspase 1. So this whole thing showed that, yes, that it is happening via caspase 1, and maybe other caspases, they have role, but there is significant cell death by activation of caspase. So that was the one arm, like, okay, it's pyroptosis. Another arm was the pro-inflammatory cytokines in response to chemotherapeutic drugs. So to check that, whether that is happening or not, again, same we selected two cell types and exposed them to inhibitors and assessed for different secretory cytokine and growth factors. So they involved HMGB1, FGF2, IL-1 beta, and IL-18. So these were done either by ELISA or by Western blotting, but they all went up in response to drug treatment in both cell lines. So suggesting that, okay, what we hypothesized that if you treat these MM cells with chemotherapeutics, there is increase and there's priming and activation of inflammasomes, which can lead to cell death, as well as IL-1 receptor antagonists, different pro-inflammatory cytokines. So the next step was to let's see if we can do what we thought about, like combine chemotherapy with IL-1 receptor antagonists. Actually, it should be IL-1 receptor, not IL-1 beta, is a mistake. So what we did for this, we selected SCID mice and injected with H. meso cells intraperitoneally, and we used cisplatin, already published dose, and we use anakinra, which is IL-1 receptor antagonist. And it is reported that in mice, as compared to human, this drug is very, very unstable. Its half-life is very, very short in mice. So we had to use daily two doses, and even that was not enough because it's better to infuse it. But we could not do that, so we just like gave daily doses, two daily doses of anakinra. And we sacrificed animals because these were intraperitoneal tumors. We could not measure them, the growth rate, but we sacrificed after 4 weeks when we knew that they grew a good size by then, and assessed tumor weight and tumor volume. And you can see that, okay, cisplatin itself was very effective, but in presence of anakinra, further down, both tumor weight and volume. So we also collected peritoneal lavage fluid in order to do some inflammatory parameters, and we saw that total cell numbers were down with cisplatin, but not significantly with these two. However, neutrophils, and neutrophil chemoattractant is also comes from, secreted from inflammasome or NAL3 activation. So this is also one of the parameters which depend on inflammasome activation, especially in NAL3. So we do see the combined effect of anakinra cisplatin on neutrophils. So then we assess some cytokines in PLF, and we see Actually, we did not see much effect, different effect from cisplatin or combined effect, but there was effect of treatment, cisplatin or cisplatin plus anakinra on VEGF, IL-8, FGF2, MCP1, IL-1 beta, as well as IL-18. So you may, must be thinking, looking at this, that I just, in vitro studies, I showed you that IL-1 beta and those cytokines were increasing in response to drug treatment, whereas you are showing here that they are decreasing. So this could be either because of, this is just like in vitro and in vivo system, and also it could be because of this is like a 4-week treatment as compared to 48-hour treatment. Just to verify that it is, and also it is reported that IL-1 beta has, it controls its own secretion and synthesis by controlling IL-1 receptor antagonist. So then maybe that is happening, that initially it goes up and then it, by feedback regulation, it is causing IL-1 receptor antagonist. So that's why its levels are going later time. Just to check that, we injected mice with the same tumors and injected with and treated with cisplatin, same dose, only for 48 hours. And yes, we could see the increase in IL-1 beta. IL-18 was not affected, but IL-1 beta was definitely upregulated. So what we concluded based on this, that chemotherapeutics, they cause a priming and activation of NLRP3 inflammasome, which can cause caspase 1 activation, which will lead to cell death and remove some of the death resistance or drug resistance from these cells, and which is anti-tumorigenic. But it also causes pro-inflammatory molecules like IL-1 beta, IL-18, FGF2, and HMGB1. So if we block this, then maybe this could be a potential therapy. So we wanted to do two more things, which we have not done yet, that use low dose of cisplatin and also try pemetrexed, which we could not obtain, but that's what plan is. So while, just like a little bit more, I want to add to this inflammasome story that we have been working with extracellular signal regulated kinase for a long time. And recently we published that ARK5, which is a different type of extracellular regulated kinase, different from ARK1 and 2, that it could be a potential target for mesothelioma therapy. So then we, and then later on, a British group showed that, okay, ARK5 is related to IL-1 beta and maybe caspase 1, not exactly to inflammasome. So we started thinking about what if ARK5 is related to inflammasome, why don't we put together and let's test this. When we did this study, that time there was no specific ARK5 inhibitor available. So this whole study was done by genetic manipulation of cells and then injecting them. But by the time we were ready for this, another inflammasome and ARK5 crosstalk, there was an inhibitor called XMD-892 that was synthesized by Dr. Nathaniel Gray from Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, and he published, and we asked him for the inhibitor, and he gave us a generous amount. So first study we did was just to animal studies, just to see that whether XMD is really working the way inhibited ARK5 lines work, genetically manipulated ARK5 lines work. And so first model we used was syngenic model, where we got MM40 cells from Dr. Agnes Kane from Brown University, and we injected it intraperitoneally into C57 black mice and assessed tumor growth with or without XMD. So you can see, because XMD is made in DMSO 50-50 cell lines, so we had to use with this vehicle, a special vehicle also. But both tumor volume and tumor weight, there was significant decrease as compared to saline. Total cell number in PLF was not significantly down, but it was down with XMD. Neutrophils were down with XMD. We also assessed VEGF and IL-6 in PLF, and they were both significantly down in XMD-treated groups. Then we verified this with other model where we injected H-meso cells into pleural cavity of mice, and then we injected XMD intraperitoneally, and again we see a significant decrease in tumor volume and weight of XMD-treated mice. So the next question was, okay, so is there any correlation between ARK5 and inflammasome? In order to do that, we selected same cell type, H-meso and H2373, and then did endogenous inflammasome parameters by mRNA level in presence of XMD892 and for different time points. It's a busy slide, I'm sorry about that, but I can just tell you the summary that in presence of XMD, most of the, these are all the inflammasome-related parameters, caspase-1, HMGB-1, IL-1-alpha, NALP-3, PICARD, and PICARD is USC, which I explained to you, and IL-1-beta. So they, in H2373 cell, they were all down in presence of XMD. In H-meso cells, they were, most of them were down except for NALP-3. So the next step was, okay, what happens if we treat chemotherapeutically induced cells to XMD? Does it, is it a, because we know that chemotherapy induces inflammasome, can it inhibit that also? So we chose H2370 cells because they were giving better response and exposed it to doxorubicin and saw different parameters like caspase-1, HMGB-1, FGF2, IL-6, USC, and TFPI2 going up with doxorubicin treatment, and it is going down with XMD. IL-1 beta was also measured in conditioned medium, and it was also down with in presence of XMD. So this all suggests, although there's a lot to be done here, but it suggests that asbestos or chemotherapy drugs, that they can cause ARK5 activation, mesothelial cells and MM cells, and which can cause inflammasome activation, cause different cytokines and growth factor release, and which may lead to malignant mesothelioma. And XMD can block at several steps. It can block ARK5, which can lead to blockage of inflammasomes, and finally, mesothelioma outcome. So it is a possibility that chemotherapy drugs with XMD-892 could be a better approach. And again, we need to test this in detail with combination of drug and especially cisplatin and at least pemetrexed. But at least this is encouraging and shows some significant, might be significant, maybe potential. So what we can conclude from this whole study, that IL-1 receptor antagonist in combination with chemotherapeutic drug could be a better choice for MM treatment. Chemotherapeutic drugs in combination with ARK5 inhibitor could also have potential for MM treatment. There's another fairly new substrate identified for caspase-1 other than IL-1 beta or IL-18, which is called gastermin D. And it has been shown in some other cancers that chemotherapeutic drugs can activate it and it can help in pyroptosis. So we need to check if this is the case in mesothelioma also, then it would be another target to study in mesothelioma. With this, I thank you all and acknowledge everybody who contributed to my lab members, my collaborators. Harvey Pass is my clinical collaborator. He gives all clinical samples and financial support, and Dr. Nathaniel Gray for giving me generous supply of XMD-892. Thank you very much.